Tuesday, April 16th marked day 4 of the Chad Daybell trial. We have a lot to unpack today. There were a few witnesses. We went through messages, searches, Google searches, and emails. They went through Charles Vallo. And of course, we have to talk about John Pryor. And we talked about money at the end. And also Charles's death. I'm Linda with It's a Crime. So now, let's get into it. The day started off with the FBI agent, Nicole Heidemann. We heard from her yesterday. She talked about the several or numerous phones belonging to Chad, Lori, and Alex. Chad had 9, Lori and Alex each had 6. Now, we continue today with Google searches with her, and she went through the searches of Chad and also of Lori. Now, with Chad, there were searches talking about Ned Snyder. We know that Ned Snyder is also Charles. Ned was said to have invaded Charles's body, and Charles became a zombie, and his name is Ned Snyder. So I did do a video on these Google searches. I'll have that below or at the end of this video. But he talked about Ned Snyder. Sorry, she. There was some astrology signs that were looked at between Chad and Lori and Chad and Tammy, which was interesting because that was conducted obviously before Tammy was dead, but it was long before. It's really hard to see these screenshots. It's hard to see in trial, but I did my best. They talked about malachite, and Chad Googled Iplos. We know Iplos was a new name for Charles as well, because he was taken over later by Iplos. One of them that was interesting, though, was done on July 9th of 2019, so 2 days before Charles died or was killed, and it was when you surprise someone with accusations. So I found that one interesting. And also SSW Wind, what is the definition of SSW direction? That they didn't go in depth today, but that had to do with the day that Tylee went missing and getting the wind direction. I believe, it's my belief that Tylee was shot based on Chad Daybell's raccoon text about shooting a raccoon, and now with this wind direction. And then finally, for Chad, had a search on Rhode Island area code, and that pertained to his burner phone. Now, when we go to Lori Lolo, she had a bunch as well. It talked about malachite, Gerber life policy. We had wondered if she took out policies on her children, but she never ended up doing that, but she was looking that up. And I feel like that could have been also for Melanie Pawlowski's children, and I can't remember. So if you could put that below, if you remember a little bit more about Melanie, that'd be great. Usually I have a pretty good memory about these things, but it's been hours upon hours of listening to John Pryor. So I don't need to say anymore. She also looked up pet services. We know JJ's dog was given away. And then wedding bands made of malachite in August of 2019. Lori did do a purchase early in the summer for the malachite rings, but the person, I think it was on Etsy, and the person who was making it was on holidays, so they had to cancel the order, so that didn't go forward until October, and then that's when Lori bought them. I mentioned that in my last video. She also searched Kennedy Elementary, Rexburg, Idaho. We know that's where JJ went to school. And how to get the back seat out of my Jeep Wrangler, and DIY also, like seat removal. And then Gilbert, Arizona News on October 2nd, which is the day that Brandon Boudreau had his attempted murder on him. And then wedding dresses on October 22nd, just days after Tammy was murdered, and wedding dresses in Kauai she also did. So they talked about these Google searches. Now, John tried to throw spaghetti at the wall, like he normally does, but this is like a whole pot of spaghetti, because he was going after Nicole, the FBI agent, and saying, or tactical specialist, I guess she was calling herself, for the FBI, but she said she was working with another agent who was in the courtroom, and John went on a soliloquy for I don't know, 10 minutes, 5 minutes about this other agent being in there. Did they talk about the case together? And she says, well, he was part of the investigation. She's like, what about this week? So he was on the attack trying to figure out if they had talked and, discredit the witness and whatnot.
So before I get into the gist of what I'm going to talk to you about, I noticed that there's an FBI representative in the court today and that he has been here on a number of occasions watching the testimony. I can't attest to the specific number, but I know he's been here several times. Is that your officer supervisor that's here supervising your testimony?
He's not my direct supervisor, but I do work with him, yes.
Okay, so what is he here for?
Observation.
Okay.
Just observe the...
And at any time prior to your testimony, did you discuss with this FBI person anything you were going to say today since he's been watching the testimony for several days?
We have not discussed it. And I mean, he's been a part of the investigation for quite a while, so he knows of it, but we haven't discussed in detail what I'm testifying to now.
And I appreciate you saying it that way. When you say he hasn't discussed it with me in detail, what I really want to know is he discussed it with you at all in any regard, in any capacity since this trial started.
Your Honor, I'm going to object on relevance and beyond the scope of direct.
All right. Well, the issue goes to the exclusionary order, and we need to just get to that point, Mr. Pryor, as to whether or not you believe there's been any violation of that.
And in essence, Judge, what I'm asking is whether she's in any regard spoken to that representative of the FBI about this case.
You can ask the question.
That's the question I'm asking,
Judge. About this case, yes, we have spoken about this case.
And when did you speak?
Over the last 4 years, okay. 4.5 years.
Did you speak in the last week during the testimony of this case?
Possibly. I don't remember off the top of my head if we had any other than if I was going to testify or...
Okay.
Timing.
And what I'm concerned about is this, is that he's not your direct supervisor, right?
That's correct.
And there's no need to report to him, right?
It's a co-situation. I don't necessarily need to report to him, but I do, as a courtesy, I am on his squad, but I have a different direct supervisor. So as a courtesy, I like to let him know if I'm okay. In the office
All
or
right.
not.
And I'm going to move on. I just wanted to actually... Part of that was the judge's exclusionary rule and whether or not you folks are communicating about this case. And your answer is maybe a little bit, but not in any significant way, right?
Not in any significant way, not beyond what we've talked about in the last 4+ years now.
And even though this FBI officer isn't your direct supervisor, you're just talking in general about this case, right?
I can't say in the last week or so if we have or not any details. Nothing that stands out, no.
Okay, so you don't remember whether you talked to somebody or not in the last week about a very important case in your life. Is that what you're telling
me? Your Honor, I'm going to object as argumentative and asked and answered.
Sustained.
Okay.
Next was Detective Duncan, and he talked in length about Charles's murder. He walked it through that day that Charles was killed. He was shot while he was laying down, and he had two bullet wounds in the front and two in the back, but they believed to be two bullets, and that Alex obviously tried to claim self-defense and said that Charles struck him with a bat, and then Alex went and got his gun and shot him. The little details that you might forget, that literally Alex had to go back into his room. This is his own statement, but they didn't say that today, that he went into his room to go get it after this altercation, and Alex ended up with a little boo-boo on his head. And Charles was a pro baseball player. So if he was going to hit Alex with the bat, I don't think he'd have a little tiny baby boo-boo. They went on to talk about a walkthrough. That's how they knew about the Alex shooting Charles while laying down. They saw there was an indent in the floor, and they said that Charles had a little bit of abrasions to his knees and his scrapes on his arms and his hands, but that's about it. Now, I did do a timeline on Charles and a whole series on that, and Alex slept over the night before. They talked about Charles's phone, and they had several emails, texts. There was an email that was sent from Lori to Chad, pretending to be Charles, though, and they read that out loud. I did a video on that. I believe it's in code. I'll let you know, or I'll put that in the description box below, or maybe at the end of this video. Now, there was a few things that I highlighted from this. They talked about an email sent to Tammy from Charles and no indication that she read them. But on June 29th, which is just 12 days before Charles was killed, 13 days, so almost 2 weeks, he told Lori that he's going to talk to Tammy and he's going to let her know what's up. And Charles ends up emailing Tammy and introducing himself and saying, hey, I have evidence that's not great of my wife and your husband. And on June 30th, Charles says again, as the title of the email, your husband and my wife, I'll have proof and I'll share what I know. We don't know what came from that. There was also another email the same day on the 29th from Charles to Chad saying, there's this fake email that is absolutely false. And he said, does your wife know that you have several dance videos of my wife back in January? Charles says to Lori, you accuse me of infidelity, but it's you. You're the one who's being unfaithful. There's something wrong with you. Charles was saying to Lori on July 1st that he's going to first meet with Tammy Daybell. And she wanted to know, are you going to be in here on July 4th or not? Now, interestingly, that coded email, there's Charles. The coded email that I was talking about was trying to get Chad to come for July 4th. But Charles never ended up coming from Texas until July 11th or just before that. And then he was going July 11th to Lori's house. And of course, he got killed. Now, they also talked about texts between Lori and Alex, her brother, about Ned. And Alex saying, get rid of Ned already. And Ned is still alive. I just confirmed it. And one of them said, it's not Ned, it's a new one. And that's where he turned into Iplos. But he also had other names like Garrett as well, which is the new entity for them. Lori lied, surprise, surprise, when it came to Tammy Daybell. Because when she died, she got a text from a Nicole who said, oh, have you heard about Tammy's death? And Lori says, no, I'm in Hawaii, it's 6 o'clock. What happened? And Nicole says, well, you know, she woke up coughing, threw up, and passed away. Now, later on that day, Melanie Gibb texted Lori, said, I just heard about Chad's wife. And Lori went, what? So clearly she's lying on there, no surprise. On July 11th, the day that Charles was murdered, there are three messages in the morning at 6:12, 7:01, and 7:33 to Chad. They have it on record as a record, but they don't have the contents. So they didn't say, they didn't specify it, but my assumption is this was deleted because there was nothing, they didn't even say it was deleted. They just said there's record, but no contents from Lori. Now, interestingly, they later tied that into that Lori had to check to see what to do. So it would have been around that time, but good old Chad's not innocent in that. And later on, the detective would say, yeah, like I wanted to press charges against Chad. July 18th, a week later, that's when Lori and Chad had the little chit chat about Lori not being a beneficiary anymore. Chad said, well, it'll be interesting if it was changed, especially with two bullets to his chest. Though there was one other thing I highlighted. Because he said he was probably Ned before we got rid of him. No, that was Lori. And we, meaning, I don't know, Chad too? They talked about the Harry Potter thing and I thought, dear Lord, if they're going to be talking about his storm, I'm tapping out today. But he didn't, so that's good. But Chad did say on July 26th, about Harry Potter, and also there were death percentages and that Tammy is very, very close. So we can hazard a guess what's gonna happen on that. Now, Alex had a text to Lori about the network password. both the network and the password. And the password was too many kids. That was September 3rd, just 5 days before the last sighting of Tylee Ryan. There was a little bit of talk about Zulema, which it was interesting because John was trying to get, he was trying to talk more about Zulema, about the dark and light. It's like, why don't you ask your client about that? He's the one who made the freaking rubric. They brought up another email that I don't know if I ever heard, or maybe I forgot about it. It was in April, and this time Lori was talking to Brother Daybell. It was very similar to the other coded email that I was telling you about, where she pretended to be Charles asking Chad to come. And that was very similar, so I'd have to take a look at that. And then they played a mortuary call. Now, the mortuary call, you may or may not have heard, but Chad phones the mortuary asking about a ballpark price to have Charles be cremated and send the cremains, he said, to Louisiana, from where he's from. He lies and says, I'm his nephew, and I live in Iowa, and Charles passed away in the hospital. But he wanted three times a ballpark price, and we know that Charles, there was a bat involved in Charles's murder. So he kept talking about that.
Thank you. Is he at a nursing home, hospital, or residence?
He passed away in a hospital. I don't know the details.
It's just to know, because sometimes that's different if it's a residential or hospital or nursing home. Okay.
Thinking they're sending him to the medical examiner, I'm not sure. I should have had more information before I called. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. Cremation with shipping. To which city?
New Orleans. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one moment, please, Chad, stay on the line. Let me transfer you over to the director who can assist you with that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Chad?
Yeah.
Thank you for holding. I do have the director, Carissa, on the line to further assist you.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you.
And, Your Honor, that was State's Exhibit 44A.
Okay.
And I would now ask to publish State's Exhibit 45A.
You may.
My name is Chris. I'm a senior director with Valley System Mortuary Cemetery. I understand that your uncle passed away.
Yes, and I'm just starting the process for the family. He didn't have many relatives. I'm his nephew. I live in Iowa. But what
so
they
sorry
wanted
to hear
to
that.
Sad to see him go. Yeah, I think he's going to the medical examiner. I don't know all the details, but what the family basically wants is just to have him cremated there in Chandler and then shipped, have the cremains shipped to New Orleans. And we'll bill up the service later. So just trying to get a ballpark price.
Okay. For a cremation, we are able to do our cremation for $1,695. Now, what that's going to include is the transportation into our care, the transportation to and from our crematory, our basic professional fees, as well as our crematory fee. Now, there's going to be a couple other charges there for you. So we are going to have death certificates, which are $20 a piece with a processing fee.
Okay.
$15 permit fee.
All right.
And then we're able to do that transfer through the mail for you, and that's $150 fee for you.
Okay. UPS or something, I guess.
Okay.
So close, about a 2,000 probably, kind of a ballpark, yeah?
Close to, yeah.
Okay. Well, that helps me a lot. I'm going to call one or two others, but I'll get back to you if we come that direction. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. If you need anything else, give me a call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
At lunchtime, there was a motion about wanting to impeach Rob Wood. This went on for quite a bit. They had talked about it. They went away. They came back. They talked about it. And there was a whole crapshoot about it. So I'm going to let you go to the live stream and go watch it. Basically, John's saying he doesn't want to call Mr. Wood, but he's mad because there was allegedly 340 texts between Rob Wood and Melanie Gibb from May 6th, 2020, which would be a month before the children were found, till November 4th of 2020. And so he says there was 143 texts from Rob Wood and 197 from Melanie Gibb. So we'll wait to find out what the heck's going to be happening. It had to do with the exhibit of all these text messages. The judge is like, I don't want to read all of them. But he says he's going to watch really careful if there's any relevance once Melanie Gibb comes up, and we'll see from there. At 1:55 this afternoon, they played a patriarchal blessing. And this is the blessing that Chad gave to Alex Cox on November the 26th, I think it was. This call was very freaking long. So much so that, I mean, at times it's kind of funny because you're thinking, he's almost done. And it was 20 minutes long.
Your spirit will leave this body. You'll be greeted wholeheartedly and welcomed by the Savior himself. You already know him. But that reunion will take place on a greater plane. But the spirit, you'll feel that at that time, the vibration will exceed all. Before the second coming even occurs, the Savior will let that body rest a day or two. And much like himself, you will be raised and be resurrected. So that when the Savior does return, you will be right at the front of that amazing team of angels that will sweep the earth, much like described in the renewed earth, you will be there. It will bring you great joy to help Mother Earth transfer to a terrestrial realm, to burn away the celestial refuse. At that time, you and Holly will still have assignments here temporarily, but then you will move forward. She's already preparing a world for you too, and you will be able to be an eternal family with eternal children on that earth. And the glory will just continue for you out on and on through eternity. So I bless you at this time with strength, power, and dominion over the callings you will receive. And that you are part of a very special team of people that are moving towards translation and transfiguration, and that the Lord will be with you at all times.
Now, John actually was joking about that with the detective, going, this was the best quote of the day. He said, do you know how long that went on for? And he was making a joke.
And Mr. Daybell, do you know how long that blessing thing went on for?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither. Was it written? Was he reading off of something?
I wasn't there, so I
couldn't tell you. You didn't hear pages on the video of him turning pages or anything? I thought I heard some pages turning.
I heard a garage door open.
Okay, I didn't hear that. Yes. Well, all right. Well, you got better ears than I do. We talked about that before.
Then he couldn't say patriarchal. He was calling it parochial. Parochial prayer, he said, but it's a patriarchal prayer. And he gave that to Alex Cox. And Chad is not authorized to give these types of blessings. But he did. And I want to say, like, there's a few things he said in there, like, Alex is a valiant warrior who's protecting powerful goddesses they need protected. You already assisted us in ways that can never be repaid. And he starts crying. There's twice, for sure, that he started crying that sounded like his fake crying when Tammy Daybell also died and he did his 911 call. Super fake cry. And he was talking about on and on through eternity. And of course, I made a joke like, yeah, it's sure on and on through eternity for us too. That was literally 20 minutes long. And it just kept going. Honestly, it's painful. I keep saying it, but it really was. It's painful. Although, I do like the one point where John kept saying, it's a crime. I thought, well, keep saying it's a crime. Keep saying it, John. And again, the detective did say that he recommended charges for Chad Daybell in regards to Charles's death, which is too bad because at the end of the day, they said they didn't have enough. They didn't prosecute because it says no reasonable likelihood of conviction. But the detective said it's never been taken off the table, and this is all based on 2021 info. So maybe he still will.
Are you done?
Yes.
Was there a reason stated in this document as to why they would not prosecute Chad Daybell in the Charles Vallow case?
Yes.
Can you tell me what that reason is?
The reason they provided was no reasonable likelihood of conviction.
So I'm going to repeat that and make sure I said that and heard you correctly. At my age, I don't always hear clearly. No reasonable likelihood of conviction. Is that what it says?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, they're not pursuing this in any other way in the future against Chad Daybell. Is that correct?
That is never taken off the table. No.
Okay. But at this point, you don't have an active investigation against Chad Daybell, do you?
There are records that I would like to look at that other agencies have. But like I said, there's no statute of limitations
right. Homicide.
So
I
could always look at additional records. And if additional evidence came forward, then it could be charged.
But based on the evidence that you presented and the evidence you presented today, that was all provided to the prosecuting attorney, right?
And this is based on evidence as of 2021, yes.
Right. So it's all, they have all the current evidence, right?
I'm not sure if they have other jurisdictions' evidence. Okay. They clearly have ours.
Okay. Well, other jurisdictions' evidence, they have evidence that relating to the killing by Alex Cox and Lori Vallow of Charles Vallow, right?
Yes.
And at this point, according to this prosecutor, and that's what, 3 years ago? There's no reasonable likelihood of conviction of Chad Daybell in that matter, correct?
Correct.
The other witness was a Mark Sari, Sari, and he investigated the Social Security benefits. Lori was collecting almost $6,000 in benefits for Tylee and JJ. And Tylee was getting Social Security benefits because her dad, Joseph Ryan, died and was receiving $1,859 a month. And then she was also, Social Security benefits for Charles Vallow dying and receiving $1,951 a month. And then Lori received a type of benefit for being the mother of JJ in care, and that was $1,951 a month. So it's almost $6,000 a month Lori was receiving in benefits. Now, we know Lori didn't get the insurance from Charles Vallow because he changed it to his sister Kay Woodcock when he was like, if something happens to me, it's gonna be Lori. But she was receiving almost $6,000 in benefits, and then they stopped the payments when the children went missing. They meaning the Social Security Administration. And so, but Lori never reported to the Social Security Administration that she moved, that the kids were missing, or that she married Chad and moved to Hawaii. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, I don't get it. Why are they talking about this in court if it has nothing to do with Chad? Well, Chad's charged with grand theft by deception as well as insurance fraud. So he still got in trouble, and he was with her, married, and they were still collecting these benefits. So that's my take on it. If you know something different, let me know below, but that's my take. One more thing I have to point out about John is the word, instead of onus, he called it onerous, which is interesting. Chad Daybill was not wearing his murderous tie again today. I think somebody watched, and I think they got a little hint that they had to change it. If he wears it tomorrow, then we'll know. And if he doesn't, I should say. Tomorrow, I'm thinking they're going to start to cover Tammy Daybell's insurance policies, that Chad actually upped Tammy's policies to the maximum from the minimum. He received $430,000, was living off of it in Hawaii, and he did give a little bit to his children as well, and they went on a Knott's Berry Farm trip. So there's that. So join me tomorrow. I'll be doing a live stream for day five. Check out the videos that I spoke about earlier today here and here, and also in the description box below. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.